If you're not consistent, if you're not sure of what you're doing, if you're not confident, if your vision is not clear, if you want to get it, yes, then there is no question. You have to get it. Maybe today you're not performing well, but tomorrow is there. You can do better next day.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and today we have a special guest, Poonam Gore, who is a dynamic entrepreneur and the Chief Operating Officer of Imigo Education and Migration, overseeing operations across their offices in Australia, India, and Dubai. And originally from India and a qualified nutritionist, Poonam moved to Australia 8 years ago and has since built an impressive career in the migration industry, helping their clients navigate life-changing moves for the past 8 years. As well as that, she is not only just a business leader, but she penned the witty and insightful book NRI, Non-Resident Idiot, sharing her unique perspective on life abroad. And crowned as Mrs. India in 2017, Poonam brings her trademark energy and enthusiasm to everything she does, whether it's organizing large-scale events, creating magic in the kitchen, or lighting up the dance floor. She's also a proud mum of two, an extrovert with unshakable passion for every project she commits to, whether it's leading a team, supporting clients on their migration journey, or pursuing her creative talents. Poonam embodies drive, warmth, and dedication, and we're so happy to have her on today. Poonam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Phoebe, for having me today. I'm really looking forward and quite excited to be on this show. And thanks again for having me and giving me this opportunity to express myself to your viewers. And thanks again.
It is such a pleasure. And it's so lovely to hear that you have written a book and you've basically broken status quo and said, you know what, I'm going to do things differently to everybody else. I'm going to change up my story. Going from a qualified nutritionist in India, I guess I firstly wanted to find out, how did life take you from that career path into the migration industry? It's a huge change.
Definitely, it is. The most interesting part of my life has been that I never planned things, Phoebe. I never thought of doing nutrition, and I never thought of landing up in this industry where I am today. My life has always been unplanned, and I just go with the flow. I just go with what makes me feel happy at that point of time, and I just choose whatever comes my way. So yes, it was never planned. It was never in my list that I would be doing recruitment or migration in Australia, but I'm doing it. And the most exciting part is that I'm really loving it, and I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. And for the next few years, I think I'll keep doing it, and I'm not gonna go with the flow anymore.
I think what is really unique as well about your path and your journey is that you would have faced a huge cultural adjustment from being a woman in India to moving to Australia. And I want to talk about that. I'd love to hear from you as a female, what was the biggest cultural adjustment you faced when you moved to Australia? And are there things that you still notice today that is just quite unique and different? And maybe it's been an adjustment and you haven't noticed that you've just naturally adjusted, or maybe you're still not used to it.
Okay, very interesting question, Phoebe. Actually, what I feel is I had to make cultural adjustments when you move from one country to another. It's same for everyone. It's not easy when you are moving entire ecosystem of around yourself. It's not just that you are packing your bags and getting yourself shifted to a new place, but it is entirely a shift of 360 degree. I was in Korea before moving to Australia. So you can say that I have started my life from scratch. It takes a lot of efforts. It takes a lot of mental pressure, social pressure to start in a new country and to adapt a new culture. But yes, when it comes to being a woman and how did I adjust, in a new country, being a woman. I think it's same everywhere. For women, globally, the issues are same. I don't see any difference, be it India, be it Korea, Australia. Wherever I've gone and worked, I've always been into a work. So I think it is all same everywhere. The difficulties, the challenges, it could be less or more. That is certainly there, but it's almost same everywhere. There was no change that I could say that being a woman, life was more easier back in my country, or being a woman, the life is easier in Australia or Korea. No, I think it's same. The challenges for a woman is same everywhere.
And you've written a book about being a non-resident idiot. I'd love to hear, was that how you felt when you first arrived in a new country, whether it was Australia or Korea? And what's the inspiration behind it?
Okay. Inspiration is just, again, as I said, that I never plan anything. My surroundings, I had a huge friend circle in Korea, and I'm very good at telling stories. And it just happened that when I would go out with my friends, I would share my past experience and the way I used to tell them. That inspired them, and then they pushed me that, you know, you're such a good storyteller. When you are telling something about your past or any story or any experience, you put so much details to it that why don't you write a book? Your expressions are so good that why don't you try writing a book? And that's how it all started, and I landed up. It's basically Non-Resident Idiot is a book about a guy who's very naive, who belongs to India, and when he moves from India to Singapore, the experiences, the life, the cultural shocks he gets from moving from one country to another. So it's basically, it's a fiction. So a story about a boy and the changes and experiences that he has gone through entire his life. And yeah, that's it.
Wow. And where did you draw that character from? I'm guessing some of the stories would have probably been real life scenarios you've heard.
That's true, Phoebe. Actually, 80% of that book is about my own story, I can say, 80 to 90%. That character was advised by one of my good friend in Korea. He said that, why don't you introduce this character? Because I used to discuss that book during my chit-chat, during that coffee breaks with my colleagues, with my friends. So that character, I would say, is not personally mine. He was advised by a very good friend. But other than that, the life of that character is definitely something that I could say that is my own experience, my own story.
Wow, that's fantastic. And tie it to what you guys do now at Imigo. Did that experience enhance the way you can assist your clients when understanding what they go through, that overwhelm, that uncertainty, the being told all these different advice, not knowing which one to go with, not knowing what's true and what's not? Has that experience that you've had yourself enabled you to help others?
Definitely, because I'm also a migrant. I've gone through this cycle. I have experienced myself. And as they say that until you experience yourself, the challenges, if you haven't faced those, you can't bring any change to it. So if these all things, recruitment, migration is something I have faced very closely, I've gone through this, the challenges I faced, it made me more wiser when I landed up in this industry. I had an idea that what these candidates are going through, because every day we are dealing with new migrants from moving from different countries and facing difficulties in new country. And especially when it comes to migration and recruitment, these are very basic things. And these are two sides of the same coin. So if your migration and if your recruitment is not sorted, rest, everything is just doesn't feel right. Doesn't matter where you are, what background you're from, if your job is not working right for you, if your migration has not been settled, doesn't matter what you're doing, how you're doing, and nothing works for you, and you're just living your life in trauma. So since I know the gaps myself, obviously, when I'm sitting with my clients with my own experiences, I can definitely relate to them and I can give them personal advice. And the best thing is that Imigo in this company, it is one place. It's a one-stop solution. So we are not only looking into migration or recruitment. It's a combination of both. So people, when they are coming to us, when my clients are coming to me, I can definitely hold their hands and walk them through this entire journey. Basically, we are covering their journey and destination both at the same time. So that gives me a personal satisfaction when I go home, when I'm sitting at the end of the day. I feel content that whatever I'm doing at the end of the day, okay, I'm not doing charity, I'm charging for it, but still you're helping in some way. It's a direct connection with the client you are making. I love being into service industry.
That's amazing. What would you say to people that are considering moving overseas, either for study or for work?
One advice I would like to give to people when they are moving, they should be very, very clear with their agenda that why are they moving? They should actually know the answer, because most of the times what I have experienced, Phoebe, that when they are here, they are not clear that why they have made this move. When I ask them that, why did you migrate to Australia? They have no answer. Out of just fascination, they're making this move. Okay, my friend was here because I had nothing to do in my country. I did not know what to do with my life. So 90%, I'm telling you, it's very sad, but 90% times they're not very clear with their agenda, with the objective that why they have migrated to Australia or any other country. So they should be very clear with the objective that if they are making such a big move, then what are the pros and cons they're going to face in future? And what are they getting out of it? Are they ready for it? Because it's a very big change. You're not only at personal levels, but also at professional levels. It's a very, very big move. And sometimes a right talent, I have seen, I've experienced in my day-to-day life, even if they have pool of talent in them, even then they are landing up in doing odd jobs, which personally gives me pain that I've seen people in IT back home. They're skillful, they have skills, but they are now doing odd jobs. So that's very painful, and that traumatized them even more, because obviously for their survival, they have to do something, and then they finally land up in doing odd jobs. They do not know from how to get out of that entire circle. So it becomes even more difficult for them. So right counseling is very important.
Yeah, you've brought up a really, I guess, a crucial matter here. It's that there are a lot of people that I've met that have had incredible careers in the past where they've come from a different part of the world, and all of a sudden they've gone from doing nursing to becoming a cleaner, or they maybe have studied something for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, like you say, in technology, in IT or accounting or finance. And they come here and all of a sudden they're working at a cafe or a bar and they're doing something that isn't what their skill set is. They're not maximizing it, which is such a shame. And sometimes the environment is a bit tricky. In Australia, the status or the percentage of people that end up getting back to what they were doing or finding their feet, what's been your experience of that?
As per my experience, I can easily tell you that 60 to 70% of people are not doing jobs as per their skills and as per their talent.
Wow.
Yes. They are just doing anything. They are open. I mean, which is good as well, and to some extent that they are open. They have made themselves flexible. But again, that's circumstantial, because they're not getting a right job. They have to do it. So this is again a circle, because they're not getting a right opportunity, even having that skill, they're not getting right opportunity, and where, because of where they have to land up in doing anything or everything. They have kept themselves open to acquire a certification, or they are even open to education, to get new qualification, to somehow get fit into the work culture here and to somehow get a job. They're doing anything or everything.
So in terms of the 8 years that Imigo has been around, what would you say is a success story that's been so rewarding that it's stayed with you even till this day?
Imigo is quite old. Imigo has been there since 8 to 10 years, I would say 9 years. But I've been associated, I've been in this industry since 4 years. And every day, it's like happy feeling for me. Every day gives me, when I go back home, because every day gives me a success story of one or other way. Recently, a client from Sri Lanka, they were fighting their case for protection visa. They did not know what to do. They've got refusal. And my team and I personally sat with them. Even on weekends, we were working with the client closely, because they did not have much time left with them. And they had 3 kids. They were struggling with the job. They did not know what to do. The protection visa had got refused, and they were not feeling secure going back to Sri Lanka. And that story actually affected me personally a lot. I couldn't even sleep at night when I was meeting that lady every day that she was going through the pain. And so recently we won the case. And now we have also secured a job for them, for both of them, husband, wife. And when they come here with this box of sweet, that's, I think, most rewarding, that feeling, that smile when they give you a hug and when the kids look at you and say thank you. I think every story itself, we are able to secure a job or we are able to get somebody's visa, it stays with me. So every story has some special place in my heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's so wonderful to hear. And I'm glad that you do see success stories and you can see that positivity come through. Is there anything that people should be aware of where maybe things are evolving in the next 1 to 2 years or even 3 to 5?
I think especially when it comes to recruitment, migration is something, as I said, every migrant should know, should be very clear about the objective before making a move, before taking this decision. And especially at the age of after 30s, especially if they are moving after 30s, they should know what they are doing. But when it comes to recruitment, I would say, especially to my employers, because they want to cut corners when it comes to recruitment or migration. They think that, you know, my internal staff, or we can just post the ad and we can hire the right candidates and all. But I would say that bad hire can cost you heavily. So please don't cut corners when it comes to recruitment and migration, because it affects your productivity. It brings a lot of pain, a lot of hassle to you at later stages. It doesn't only affect the productivity, it also affects the morale of the team. The entire system gets affected. So please do not save money when it comes to recruitment or migration services. Get it right at first. And also when you are hiring, please do not just look at the skill. Look at the adaptability, attitude. And also if the candidate is aligning with your values of the company or not. That's most important. It's not always the skill. It's the holistic approach, what you should be applying when you are hiring a candidate.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. In fact, my biggest success story is my right-hand woman. And I remember a few years ago when I basically just hired her for an admin task. All I needed was someone to clear out my inbox and just clear out all the junk and unsubscribe. And I remember seeing her attitude, her work ethic, the speed of implementation, the thoroughness. And I think it was about 6 months later, one day I approached her and I said, hey, would you actually like a job in social media? Because I think you're great. And basically upskilled her and trained her in everything from LinkedIn to Instagram to Facebook and all the things. And she's great. And I would 100% agree with the fact that you should be hiring someone based on culture and cultural fit and attitude as opposed to skills, if you are able to obviously upskill them. Obviously, if they've never studied an accounting course and they need to be a CPA, you can't do that. But for certain things, definitely cultural fit and attitude more important than their skill.
More important, of course.
You can teach someone a skill, but you cannot change.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot change the attitude. Aptitude can be taught, but not attitude.
I love that. So what got you to join and lead operations at Immigo Education and Migration?
Actually, I'm one of the partners here and I'm looking after the operations. I'm not the lawyer. So I'm looking after the operations of Immigo. As I said, we have got offices in India. We have got offices in Dubai. And then we also have partners in Singapore, Indonesia. So operations has always been managing team and understanding the team, bringing them together and how to generate leads. Marketing, sales is my forte. I love meeting people, getting them organized, getting everything on table, bringing new opportunities. So this is something I love to do and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, fantastic. That sounds really rewarding, especially given the fact that, as you said earlier, whatever you do, you put your passion towards it.
Yes, exactly. Immigo, it's very close to my heart because it's actually like my baby. Because as I said, the company is very old. They have been operating since 8 to 10 years now. And the guy, the founder, Manoj, he is the founder. So he was doing it on his own. So he was working as a sole trader. And he was a good friend. When I met him here, and I told him, see, you're doing it on your own. But if I become your business partner, we can make it a brand. We can just grow this. Let's do it. And he trusted me. And here we are sitting within a span of 3 years, I would say. We have got 7-8 offices and we haven't looked back. We have hired lawyers. We have a huge team now working from different time, working in different time zones from different globally situated differently. So we are doing good. And that's how it began, actually.
That is so fantastic. I love that. And it sounds like you bring a lot of different skills. You're an incredible event organizer. You also play a role in building relationships and growing the business. How do these skills translate from everyday life into running a company?
It's very simple because I'm very passionate, Phoebe. Whatever I do, be it anything, you put me in the washroom and if I'm washing my toilet, I am very passionate about it. You put me in the kitchen, if I'm cooking, I'm really passionate. I give my 100%. Either I don't do it or if I'm doing it, I'll put my 100%. There is no 50, 60 or 80, 70 in my life. So I'm very passionate about whatever I do. And that's the reason probably it's not the skill basically. That's what I think. It's more about passion. If I'm loving what I'm doing, then I would give 100%. Otherwise, I won't even touch it.
Yeah, I love that. If you had one piece of advice or one tip for someone that's a business owner, similar to yourself, who wanting to build maybe a sustainable and a successful business or company or operation, what's that one tip that you would share with them, knowing what you know now?
Apart from stuff like marketing research and putting a lot of your brain into it, I would say right attitude is very important. Every business has its own ups and downs. So consistency is very, very important. And if you're honest towards what you're doing, nothing can beat you. Passion, yes. Your skill, your knowledge towards it is one thing. Of course, that's non-negotiable. I understand. But if you're not consistent, if you're not sure of what you're doing, if you're not confident, if your vision is not clear, if you want to get it, yes, then there is no question. You have to get it. Maybe today you're not performing well, but tomorrow is there. You can do better next day. So that's how I set my goals. Go with short-term goals and long-term, you don't have to worry.
I love that. I absolutely love your advice about there's always tomorrow to do better. So many people get bogged down by the past, by yesterday, by what people say, think or do, or what they say, think or do about themselves, when every day is a day to transform.
Every day is a different, yes. Positive attitude is very, very important.
Absolutely. I love that. In terms of being a mother, and you were talking about cooking and dancing and you're passionate about all these things, do you think that having these creative outlets is a fundamental reason why you are so passionate? It's that you're in alignment. What would be the key to success and having a good and a positive attitude?
I can't say there's one factor which brings you success. There are many, many things in life that shapes your life and that brings you where you are. It's not one thing. But again, you know, right attitude is very important. Wherever you are, if you're not sitting there with the right attitude, with the right mindset, it's a waste of time for everyone, for yourself and for people around you. So if I'm at home with my kids, I am at home with my kids. And if I'm at work, I am at work. No matter, I never carry my work at home and I don't bring my home stuff to work. Wherever you put me in a temple, when I'm doing my prayers, people would think that that's it. That's the only place that she belongs to. But if I am in club dancing, people would say, okay, this is the place where she belongs to. So as I said, wherever you throw me out, I'm like, I just enjoy that moment, that place. Nothing bothers me. I live in a moment.
I love that. That's really special and unique about you. And I actually do think that there is some fundamental principles to success, and putting 100% in is definitely, rather than clouding, for example, your environment, like you say, bringing home to work or bringing work to home, where you never really fundamentally switch off or you're not 100% on, those
yes.
do have an effect.
Yeah. So I'm very good at helicoptering from one place to another. I don't just my everything else shuts down. When I'm sitting with you, I'm just sitting with you. I'm enjoying this conversation. Nothing is bothering me at back. And when I'll be down with this conversation, I'll go in my room, then I'll be in my room sitting with the client. So that's how I've been living my life throughout. And it's very simple, actually. I don't know why we make it complicated, because it's very simple.
I agree. I definitely think a lot of people blur the lines, and blurring the lines is definitely not how, I guess, our brains do need to compartmentalize. Like what you've shared, it's definitely a strength, and it's something that I say also sums up your business ethos as well.
Thank you.
Poonen, I'd love to know, in terms of your journey, who has been your biggest influence or mentor in business, and who do you look to when things are challenging?
Actually, it's my dad. Although he is not a businessman, but it's my dad who inspires me a lot. He was and he is actually very passionate about his work. So when it comes to my professional life, I definitely look at him, that how would he handle if he would have been in this place. So he is my biggest inspiration when it comes to work, because he is very passionate.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that you share that. Have you ever had a personal setback or challenge that has really shaken things up for you?
Yeah, many times, Phoebe. I've seen a lot of, I can say, downs in my business and my career growth, and as well as personal. But as I said, that nothing bothers me a lot. I've got very, very thick skin when it comes to negative things happening to me. Nothing bothers me a lot. Yes, there are people around me who are negative, who tries to pull me down. But yeah, nothing affects me. If I am clear what I'm doing, if I feel right about anything, be it anything personal, professional, I will do it no matter what. I should feel right about it. And ethically, socially, if it is right, it is right. So it just takes time to convince myself. If I am convinced, that's it. And then nothing bothers me.
That's fantastic. That's such a good attitude. And I wish more people had that kind of attitude where they weren't bothered by what other people think or say. Because if we all just stay in our lane and we have that conviction in our hearts that this is path and this is what I'm called to do and this is what I need to do, and we all know our destiny and our path, this world would be a whole other place. And I hope that you are raising children that same way.
Especially my daughter, because she's a teenager. So I always tell her that if you are clear, if you know, if you think it's right. That's it.
And finally, I'd love to know, what is one daily habit or daily ritual that you do that keeps you on path, that keeps your mind clear, keeps your spirit and your energy high? What's that one non-negotiable or routine or ritual that you have in your life?
So that one is prayer. My everyday prayer, morning prayers. And another one is music that keeps me alive. I listen to music whenever I feel low, when I'm at work, traveling. Music is one thing which keeps me going.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful answer. I would actually say the same.
Oh, that's right.
Prayer comes through music as well. Thank you so much, Poonen, for your time today. I've really loved hearing your story. I've loved hearing as well about the company and what you bring to Immigo Education and Migration. And it sounds like you guys really are passionate about helping people, whether it's in migration, education, recruitment, or legal. And I guess one final thing to wrap things up is, I'd love to know, if people want to reach out to you guys at Immigo, how can they do that? And what's the best process?
They can call me directly or on the number given on the website, and they can reach out through emails. We are based in Parramatta, George Street 91. They can directly come to our office and ask for Poonen.
Fantastic. Well, for those that are listening, if you want to reach out to Poonen at any point, make sure you do so. I will be popping her details, also her LinkedIn and her details, in the show notes, as well as the website for Immigo, for if you guys have any migration or education or recruitment or legal needs and matters. Don't hesitate to reach out. Obviously, seek advice. And Poonen, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your energy, your guidance, and your wisdom. It's been so inspiring. I've loved hearing about the different dynamics of who you are and what you bring. And I'm very excited to see more of your journey unfold, especially for you coming to our country and just being part of Australia and bringing your essence here as well.
Thank you so much, Phoebe, for having me, and good luck to your show. I really enjoyed talking to you. It was quite insightful and quite refreshing, I would say.
Thank you, Poonen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.